$12,999 with a 48 months interest-free credit. And it comes with a 2-year warranty for parts and labor.
I'd be lying to you if I said that I had high hopes for Detroit Become Human, because I didn't. French development studio Quantic Dream's previous two PlayStation-exclusive titles presented an inherent inconsistency that I simply couldn't, and still can't, rectify. On one hand, you have one of PS3's finest, most unique games in 2010's Heavy Rain. And on the other hand, you have the muddled, disorienting, and disappointing Beyond Two Souls, released on PS3 3 years later. So I viewed the third entrant in Quantic Dream's PlayStation-exclusive sequence as a coin flip that could go either way. What I certainly didn't expect, though, was a game that was, in fact, superior to Beyond and Heavy Rain alike, and yet that's exactly what Detroit Become Human is. Detroit is a triumph in interactive storytelling, a clean, sophisticated, and timely foray into a deep and meaningful set of issues, resulting in one of PS4's worthiest and most compelling exclusives, and my favorite game so far in 2018. If you've played Heavy Rain or Beyond, or even Quantic Dream's earlier game Fahrenheit, then you'll have an idea of what to expect with Detroit. At its core, Detroit is an adventure game that largely emphasizes exploration, analysis, and dialogue over action. Writer and director David Cage's fixation with an ever-moving, ever-changing plot is alive and well here, forcing players to make perhaps 1,000 decisions, some big, some small, and some totally inconsequential, melding them together in unique permutations that give you a host of possible outcomes as you go deeper and deeper into the plot. Detroit isn't a Twitch shooter or an action game or even something you can lose. No matter what happens, no matter what decisions you make, or even who lives and dies, the game just keeps on going. There's no fail condition. Even refusing to make a choice at all is, in itself, a choice. QuickTime events, or QTEs, are sprinkled in to gamify Detroit a bit, but in reality, gameplay revolves around dialogue choices and exploration, mostly done alongside visible and invisible timers that add a layer of urgency on top of it all. There are entire portions of the game you may never see, others you may see in more depth than others ever will. Some characters will live, some characters will die. All the characters can live or die, in fact. It really does go that deep, and it's quite literally all up to you. Detroit takes place 21 years from now, in the year 2039, and the world then is a very different place than it is right now. The rise of human-like androids has thrown society into a creeping state of economic and existential chaos, bestowing upon modern society a legalized, purchasable class of mechanical slaves that can do menial and complex work alike. For as little as a few hundred dollars, and as for as much as thousands upon thousands of dollars, various models can be purchased for any use imaginable, from the mundane to the salacious, from janitorial work and childcare to military ops and prostitution. All of these androids sprout from an American megacorporation called CyberLife, an oligarchical organization with seemingly infinite power, prestige, and money, and with subtle but meaningful control over society, not all unlike the Googles, Facebooks, and Ubers of our contemporary world. But there's serious tension brewing from two fronts, because not only are these androids displacing workers, they're also becoming self-aware, sentient, and ultimately dangerous. Not a terribly uncommon plotline in science fiction, but one that seems especially timely today, as we grapple in real life with the ethical, economic, biological, spiritual, and political ramifications of artificial intelligence. Some of the most popular science fiction of the modern era, from Battlestar Galactica to The Terminator, deals with machines turning on their masters. But few give you the story from the mechanical perspective, and even fewer, if any, give you complete agency over how the story plays out, and from three perspectives nonetheless. In Detroit, players will take control over a state-of-the-art crime-solving android named Connor, a domestic android named Kara, and a personable personal assistant android named Marcus. And it's how these characters interact with those around them, the world they live in, and sometimes even each other's overlapping stories that shape in turn their respective outcomes. Outcomes that can result in success, failure, and just about everything in between. From a narrative perspective, story-based, choice-based games can fall apart if they lack emotional resonance, and in turn, it's that emotional push and pull that lets a player know a game is hitting its target. My benchmark for a game that makes me make moral choices is if I actually feel good or bad making those choices, knowing full well that I'm playing a game, and that my choices are ultimately amoral and meaningless in reality. Quantic Dream's Heavy Rain was great at this. So was Mass Effect, where I never wanted to make the so-called renegade choice. Other games I love, like Fallout 3 and Infamous, provided their choices as pure binary, and therefore they weren't as emotionally impactful. When it comes to Detroit Become Human, I don't know that I've played a game before where I felt so much riding on my choices, and where I felt the consequences of those choices on me, not on the avatars I'm playing as, and not isolated to those avatars' fictional stories. In other words, there was a threshold crossed here, and that let me know that Detroit was working as intended. The very idea that machines can become conscious, self-aware, sentient, and, well, alive, is tantalizing enough without jumping into the deeper philosophical well that accompanies all of it. Yet I couldn't help but go there in my mind as I played. What is the meaning of being? Do we have control over those we create? Are we not taking the ethical concerns of a Detroit-like situation seriously? There's a lot to dissect and digest here, and that's part of what made the game such a pleasure to play, especially when it comes to nuance. Why do so many androids act as willing collaborators while others turn so-called deviant, the in-game word for androids who go beyond the bounds of their preset programming? How can so many humans be so abusive to machines they created, machines they want in their lives, that they spend their hard-earned money on, yet don't seem to really like? How do our political, social, and economic systems keep up with a Moore's Law-like reality, where computing power and potential far outstrip human power and potential? It's not every day that a video game confronts its players with these sorts of philosophical conundrums. In previous Quantic Dream games, as well as similar story-driven, choice-based games like PS4's Until Dawn, you can go back and make different choices by playing the campaign again, or portions of it via chapter select, or whatever else. But no game I've ever played represented its sequence of choices and consequences so visually, so tantalizingly, and so coherently. The flowcharts that pop up at the end of each of the game's dozens of chapters show you exactly what you did and what resulted. These flowcharts show things that weren't unlocked because of certain choices made previously, things that were unlocked because of choices you already made, and much more. All of this provides an awesome carrot at the end of the stick to not only play again, but to play many times. Not only to see the entire story from every angle, or to earn trophies or whatever else, but also because of a clever scoring system that bestows points upon a player, which in turn can be used to unlock art galleries, soundtracks, additional videos and story sequences, and more. Detroit is a wonderfully engineered game from this perspective. Not everything adds up with Detroit's story, of course. There are a few leaps of logic the players need to take, a few storytelling shortcuts that I think could have been more cleverly remedied, and some weirdness in dialogue trees that temporarily tore me out of the experience. And of course, there's nothing weirder than walking around looking for clues or people to talk to or the next action to take, awkwardly bumping into things, dealing with sometimes annoying camera angles and whatever else, which reminds you that you're playing a game. I actually think my biggest problem with the game, though, is when it takes place, 2039, which doesn't seem nearly far away enough for the American and global societies Detroit is portraying, even through the futurist lens of Ray Kurzweil, whose writings were a major influence on David Cage as Detroit's story came together in pre-production. We are moving fast, there's no doubt about that. Hell, iPhones came out only 11 years ago, cable internet has been ubiquitous for fewer than 2 decades, and Boston Dynamics' social media accounts scare the shit out of me on a near-weekly basis. But I think setting the game in, say, 2070 or 2080 would have made a bit more sense and grounded it all a bit more in reality, though that's a relatively minor gripe. What I didn't take much issue with was the setting itself, Detroit, Michigan. Detroit acts as a fourth main character, the urban encapsulation of economic despair at the very heart of the game, occupied by a citizenry racked with drug addiction, depression, and uncertainty. In the real world, Detroit is a city that's been in a serious, dangerous decline for decades, tethered to a dying industry that the whole city hinged on. My assumption about Detroit in Become Human was that it was a city on the rebound, the so-called Android city that found a new industry to stick its flag in, to rebuild its working and middle classes off of, to bring prosperity back to its people. But you quickly find out that that's not at all what's happening in Detroit. In fact, Detroit is representative of the larger American narrative in the game, one with a staggering 31% unemployment rate, creeping destitution, and a clearer-than-ever delineation between the haves and the have-nots. If you get deep into the game's lore by exploring thoroughly, you'll learn even more about the wider world, one on the brink of catastrophe for a number of disparate reasons. At its core, though, Detroit Become Human is deeply allegorical, at least in part telling a story reflective of American race relations over the years, decades, and centuries. Most acutely, it tells a tale largely, though not completely, parallel to Jim Crow with, in the game's case, humanity holding heavy amounts of resentment towards androids for the economic ruin they foisted on the lower and working classes. It was especially fascinating watching middle-class workers, like cops for instance, wrap their heads around the fact that their jobs might be next, as the inexorable march of progress removes more and more people's ability to breadwin. The Jim Crow-esque references aren't exactly subtle in the game. Androids are literally made to ride the back of the bus in Detroit. They aren't allowed in certain stores and buildings. Other times, they have to use Android-only facilities that keep them segregated from humanity. What Cage is trying to do here is obvious, and while sometimes heavy-handed or too on the nose, it works. It tethers our experience in-game to what we know about the real world, and what we know about history, and in turn, that allows us to grow a sympathetic slant towards our protagonists, and the increasingly hostile world they find themselves in through no choice of their own. This serious and challenging brand of story is served well by the core actors that bring Detroit's characters to life. Valerie Curry, Brian Descartes, and Jesse Williams do a wonderful job portraying Kara, Connor, and Marcus respectively, and a supporting cast rounded out by actors like Clancy Brown, Minka Kelly, and Lance Henriksen heighten the plot even further. I really cared about these characters, I didn't want anything bad to happen to any of them, and at the end of the day, of course, you can't get what you want. And maybe that's Detroit's greatest parlor trick, convincing you some choices are good when they're bad and vice versa, tracking all of it in complex relationship meters that let you know where you stand with others in your story arc. You can't please everyone. Sometimes doing the bad thing is necessary. Other times you'll regret taking the easy route. You'll see when you play for yourself. I think above all else, Detroit Become Human feels big, and that's a notable change from Heavy Rain and Beyond, which were smaller stories about smaller situations, which I don't at all mean as an insult, by the way. Heavy Rain, in particular, was so powerful because it was so focused on one man and one story. Detroit still has those personal touches, but everything takes place on a broader and grander stage, with heavier ramifications scaling far beyond the four walls of your game. I love that. And I love that when I wasn't playing Detroit, I was thinking about it. I beat the game in perhaps a dozen hours played over three long sessions in 2 days, and all I wanted to do was play more. Hell, all I want to do now as I read this script is go back to my second playthrough that I began last night, to see what could have been different. I've no doubt that Detroit Become Human won't be for everyone. If you didn't like any previous Quantic Dream games, you're not going to like Detroit. If you don't like story-driven games with a little action, you're not going to like Detroit. If you like linear games, you're not going to like Detroit. If you use pejoratives like Walking Simulator, or think games have to engage players in deeply mechanical ways, you're not going to like Detroit. But if you're an open-minded, story-hungry gamer who understands that video games have the most narrative potential of any form of entertainment, and that not every video game needs to hinge on killing, upgrading, questing, or whatever other admittedly tired way to play persists in this industry, this one may be for you. If you're looking for a timely socio-political story that hits close to home, one that can be replayed multiple times, then you're probably going to find a ton to love with Detroit Become Human. I sure did.